and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Police say the killer who shot the CEO of United Healthcare outside a Manhattan hotel wrote words like deny and defend on his shell casings. Detectives are questioning people like Matthias Taranto, who stayed at the same hostel as the suspect.
The police was like right there, and the Iceland fellow told me that his friend was in the same room as that guy, and he was like, no, I'm sure that's it.
More from CBS's Jared Hill in New York.
Cameras at a Starbucks captured enough of the suspect before the shooting to run facial recognition. Police say he paid in cash. CBS News law enforcement contributor Rodney Harrison says the suspect is experienced with a gun.
He knew what he was doing. The gun jams. He's able to deal with the malfunction. So it looks like he's very proficient with how to use a firearm.
Members of his own party may move to impeach South Korea's president for his declaration of martial law earlier this week. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul.
South Korea's ruling party leadership had opposed President Yoon Suk-yeol's impeachment, but has now conceded it's necessary to suspend him to stop him from repeating this week's radical actions. Yoon's impeachment would make the prime minister acting president, pending a constitutional court ruling and possible early election to pick his successor.
More snow across the northern U.S. has driving treacherous. In Cleveland, Tyler Kratzer slid off a road into a frigid pond.
Well, when I hit the water, I was like, oh, that's definitely not good. So put all the windows down, put open the sunroof, and I just went out the sunroof.
He was not hurt. Northern Californians are cleaning up after an offshore magnitude 7 earthquake knocked pictures off walls and items off shelves. CBS News San Francisco anchor Kenny Choi spoke to Angie Chavez, who was working at a restaurant in Rio Dell, not far from the epicenter.
For a magnitude 7 earthquake, the damage could have been much worse.
It started off pretty slow, and then it started to escalate, and that's when things really started to fall.
But even though her restaurant is still standing,
it's definitely going to be a bit of a task to get back on our feet.
A judge in Texas has rejected a plea deal between Boeing and federal prosecutors over two 737 MAX jet crashes. Mark Pegram lost his son in one of them.
Sham of a deal that does not give accountability for 346 deaths.
For the 12th year in a row, a Secret Santa in Detroit has made a surprise donation to the Salvation Army. WWJ radio reporter Luke Sloan.
Major David Minks calls the gift heartwarming for local families.
It never gets old. It's beautiful to see the color, but also realize that it's going to make a difference in so many people's lives.
The rare cougar and is worth almost $3,000.
The donor says that was his or her last coin. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I feel like we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored three touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College Hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the middle single digits. We'll have a light west wind. That breeze will pick up a bit on Friday. West to northwest winds up around 20 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the low to mid 20s. Currently 8 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center. An entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, a newly hair-clipped Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our steamy studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jump on one of those and check out Calvin's new haircut. Looks very nice. Not to embarrass you overly, Calvin.
Everyone look at Calvin.
Yes, we have a jam-packed show for you today. Emily Cephos is a former assembly candidate in the Fox Valley and a county party leader in that area. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across her on Twitter. She had a great thread about the ground game for Democrats in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And she has some ideas about how they should maybe change things, alter things a little bit going forward.
That's great.
It was a great thread. She has lots of great insights. So Emily is going to be joining us at 10:33, right after the 10:30 news. Next hour, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Those feisty winds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
what are we at
cold.
Right now?
It's really cold, except for in this room.
No, it's south of hell in August in this room. Seriously. My goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's toasty. Every other Thursday, mm-hmm. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us to talk all things sports balls at 11:33. And, of course, we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:51 today. It's the olfactory edition.
Ooh.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off, though, with an article that I found on Wisconsin Public Radio by Trevor Hook, and the headline reads, "Online sports betting is on the rise nationwide. Some Wisconsin therapists and advocates are worried. American adults, check this out, are expected to bet $35 billion this football season."
Just the football season.
Just football, 35 with a B.
Yeah.
A counseling hotline in Wisconsin says it's getting more calls reporting problem gambling. And apparently this is also very popular, obviously, among men, but among young men.
Yes.
It's jumped from 18 to 24 years old. 40% of bettors are under the age of 35. But again, people who watch these things, the head of the National Council on Problem Gambling said that they're particularly worried, again, about the growth among younger bettors ranging from 18 to 24 years old. So, Calvin, you're our resident young person, and that's kind of closest to you in age. Are a lot of your friends doing online betting?
Do you do online betting?
I play a little.
Yeah.
So last season, I play fantasy football, which is not really gambling. It's just you draft a team, you play with your buddies in a league. And then, so the app that we use for one of those ran a promotion where if you put $100 into their betting service, they would match it. So you could have $200 to play with.
That's
so
I can see that as a hook.
So I said, you know what? Make the games a little more exciting to watch.
Sure.
I'll do that. And I ended up winning like $2,000 with that $200. So I've pulled like most of that out and have just been playing around with the excess since then. But yeah, I can definitely see how it can become a problem.
Do you feel like in the time that you were doing it, was there, I mean, there's always a rush of winning.
Oh, absolutely.
There's always a rush when you win.
It's that big endorphin release.
But did you find yourself being, were you ever distracted from other things to check your phone, to see if you've won or gotten the points to win the money? Is that, did you ever have that feeling, Calvin?
See, I think that's kind of what made it more manageable for me.
Yeah.
I only ever did it on Sundays when I was watching football.
Gotcha.
So it was only ever just to make the games more interesting to watch. It was never
because you're going
to
be watching it anyway.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. See, I mean, and that's the thing is, as it says in the article, problem gamblers make a very small amount of gamblers on the whole. And I know my mom is a gambler. She gambles. Sometimes she wins $2.50 at Cousins Poker. And she goes to Vegas and she goes to Pottawatomi. And people can manage it. And they have they know exactly what they need to do and when they need to stop.
Yes, and that's the important factor.
But I'm wondering with these new services, these apps, the access. Because, you know, my mom just can't drive to Vegas every weekend.
Right.
So she knows when she's going, when she's not going. But this access to these apps, FanDuel, DraftKings, all these, and the new ones that are popping up all the time, just make it so easy. With, as Calvin said, you know, hey, you got $100? We'll give you $100.
Now you have $200.
Now you have $200, baby. It's frightening. I'm not a gambler at all. I don't gamble, period.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm too cheap.
It kind of, I don't want to say it frightens me, but like, I like my money. I don't have a lot of it, and I'd like it to remain mine. And people are like, oh, but you could, you know, double your money. I'm like, but I could also not.
And you could lose it all.
Or I could just keep what I have and save it.
Tony on the live stream says, young men, a notoriously wealthy and responsible group, can't see this going badly at all. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and like, exactly. If you have the, I mean, I don't want to endorse behavior, but like, if you have a lot of money and you can lose a grand or two or more and it doesn't bother you, then whatever, that's your life. Do your thing, Jelly Bean. But the access to it, and it's something I brought up to you before we went on the air this morning. It's also a very murky place now to wade into with gambling, because when I was growing up,
it was illegal.
It was illegal. You go to Vegas, you go to Reno, Atlantic City, or a Native American casino. That's it.
Yep.
Now it's all murky and wishy-washy, and it's basically like, don't ask the questions. We won't tell you an answer.
Well, isn't that like in-house pools?
Yeah.
Those were all illegal, too.
Yeah.
All the brackets for the Sweet 16, all that stuff was illegal.
I mean, if after we were done with the show, we went in the back to our bullpen, and we had a five-person poker game, we'd be breaking the law if we were involved in money. If we were gambling money. I mean, it makes you go, oh, come on. It's a $20 buy-in. Who cares? But it's still breaking the law. So for me, since FanDuel and DraftKings especially have become so, I mean, behemoths, networks are buying into these companies. And you hear them say things like, oh, NBC Sports is now has an ownership interest in FanDuel's. They're putting their money into these groups that are, am I wrong, doing things that are kind of illegal? But no one wants to
kill the golden goose.
Exactly. I'm sure those groups have, you know, tens of millions of dollars in lobbying going on throughout the halls of power in every single state, especially the states, not just the government, the federal government, but the states. Because I looked up, can I use FanDuel in Wisconsin? And the answer was, there's no laws permitting it, but there's no laws
that you can't.
That you can't.
855-752-4842. Do you do online gambling? I'm genuinely curious. Kevin, what do you want to say?
Yeah, so these apps do use a little bit of a loophole. In states where gambling isn't explicitly legal, you can't just bet on games. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to pick the underdog in this game. You have to do what's called player props, and I think the idea behind that is they can sell it or market it as a fantasy sport instead of gambling. So what you do is you have to like pick a player and say, okay, this player is going to score a touchdown, and then pick another player and say, okay, this player is going to have over 100 rushing yards. And you, the more things you combine together, the bigger the multiplier for how much payout you get.
And then what you do is with all that information, you go into your app and then you take a certain amount of money and you give that to them. And if you win, you get more money back. That is gambling.
And well, I know it is, it's semantics.
But it's such a flimsy semantics argument. I mean, you tell FanDuel and DraftKings they do gambling, they get upset. It's like when you tell Vince McMahon, oh, you got wrestlers. No, we do sports entertainment. We do not do wrestling. Like, what? You're gambling. I gave you my money. I lost. You took it away from me. That's gambling.
You can call it something else, yeah, but it's pretty much still gambling. There are warning signs, obviously, if you have a problem with gambling. So they say, you know, if you always stick to $50, that's your limit. You know, when you start all of a sudden breaking that.
Yes.
And you keep, you know, well, let's go up once more and let's go up once more. It's called chasing losses.
Oh, God.
So you want to keep that, you want to get that money back, but then you just invest more and more and more and more. And certainly people who have gambling problems can end up in a lot of trouble as far as with their home finances. With, I'm sorry, but I think of all the embezzlement cases over the last 20 years. And in many of those instances, they were gambling.
Yeah. I mean, you hear the story, the age old stories of like, you know, where's my college fund, mom or dad? Oh, well, you know, it's gone.
I thought we paid off our mortgage. Well, I had to take out a second loan on the house, honey. Everything is just fine.
Yeah, that chasing losses actually makes me sick to my stomach because it's the idea of someone saying, like, no, I just give you one more chance.
Yes.
Give me one more chance.
I'll win it back.
I'll win it all back. And they're like, you know, several thousands, if not more, in the hole.
Yeah. And like you said, too, my parents loved to gamble.
Yeah.
They would go to Vegas once a year, but they never talked about it.
Yeah.
They never talked about how much they won, how much they lost. But mm-hmm. I know that there was a set amount.
Yes.
There was a set amount that they weren't going to go, that they certainly weren't going to go over.
No. I mean, my parents were the exact same way. And what's funny is that they were fervent poker players. They love playing poker. My mom's an amazing poker player. I love telling young men that she could beat them poker. They get so upset. But
ooh, I feel a tournament.
But neither my sister or I gamble at all. We don't, not even in their level of like, we go to the casino once a month or we have some friends over to play. No, there's no gambling in either one of our houses. Because for me, I just, no, thank you. There's no fun also in like sitting around playing poker. That's just not my thing.
I would agree with you.
That's just not my way of spending a couple hours with people.
I would agree with you. We're going to keep this going. Tim from Eau Claire, I see you on the line. We have a real short break and we'll come back with you when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man, she can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Chasing.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, met up with a gambler.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cal Viente on the board, coming to you from our steamy studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us for a little weather and wine. We've entered static season officially.
It's going to be iced wine.
Iced wine this morning. So we'll talk about what we can look forward to over the next couple of days with Brittany. Stick around for that. Before we went to the break, there's an article in today's WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, by Trevor Hook, talking about the explosion of internet gambling and gambling by phone and, you know, just jumping on. And this can be a problem, especially if you don't obviously have the money to do this. And it's very attractive, apparently, to young men. And that is a concern among some.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Tim from Eau Claire has been very patient. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I guess I'd have a question. Where is the right-wing evangelical Christian uproar about this? They're, you know, they want to protect decency and the family values and stuff. What about the members of Congress? Shouldn't they be opposed to all this stuff?
For some reason, Tim, and I could be wrong, but I have a feeling, I don't know, gambling lobbyists might have something to do with that?
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But so, you know, they like to portray themselves as against the upholders of the family and stuff, but where are they on this? It takes a back seat to the money, doesn't it?
Well, currently they have a man who's up for a position in the Trump White House who is accused of being a drunk and a philanderer. I think that if they don't have a problem with that gentleman, and I'm talking about Pete Hegseth, actually, not Donald Trump.
You have to clarify, I know.
But like, if they don't have a problem with him and they're fine with him, I have a feeling that gambling isn't even on the horizon of their concern. And much as we've seen, if there is a problem, if they just get right with Jesus, everything's good. We move on to the next problem.
Appreciate you checking in, Tim. Thank you so much for listening. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, do you do this? Are you a gambler? Yeah. I'm just curious. No judgment. I know a lot of people get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Not my thing.
Yeah.
Just I tried it a couple times, and I would probably still go to casinos if they still had handles on slot machines. And now it's no fun.
The only fun I have at a casino, the buffet. They're really good. As Joey from Friends said, that's where I win my money back.
I like the handle thing, and okay. I like the quarters. Now you get a slip of paper. It's like, woo.
That's it for that's you? Yes. That's the line of demarcation?
It's the whole tactile thing. I want to just push a button and watch the thing go.
We'll fly to Reno or Laughlin or some like podunk outpost in Nevada. And get
somewhere
you
where they still have the one-armed bandits.
Exactly. Barkeep, keep this cup open and fresh.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you a gambler?
Hey, good morning. Yes, a little bit here and there. I dabble. Before they made the machines legal in the bars and stuff, I was in a bar up in Fond du Lac, and we were doing sign-in every Monday and stuff. And I just sat down, and a buddy of mine who was a cop walked in. He walked right up to me and said, "Troy, you need to go out the back door."
Uh-oh.
And then they busted the place.
Whoa! Back in the old days, you'd rabble-rouser you.
You rouser
you
of rabbles.
Rouser of rabble.
Finally, some of my contacts worked out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That bet finally paid off. That's funny, Troy. Thank you so much for that. Tom from LA is also on the line. Good morning, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, good morning, Jane. Yeah, I've actually made it a conscious decision. One, when I moved out to Los Angeles, I never wanted to put even Vicks up my nose because I didn't want to do coke.
Oh.
Second, because I was big at going to parties here. Also, when it came to gambling, I never just kind of disciplined myself not to do it because I know it's one of the things that's one of the hardest addictions to actually be able to, get over. So as an example, with fantasy football, when that started, which I think is honestly people just trying to be like thinking that they're owners of teams or something like that, which I don't. Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. But I have a loyalty to the Green Bay Packers, and that is my loyalty. And I find that fantasy football and betting and all that stuff kind of takes you away from the loyalty of the one team. You're now loyal to different players from different teams, which I think kind of ruins the idea of the loyalty to the one team. So I think that, and I also think that all the commercials, you got Jamie Foxx on, you got all these different people now, all these ex-athletes that are pushing. When you had someone like Pete Rose that got actually kicked out of the sport.
For gambling, yes.
There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And I don't understand, then of course you have commercials saying, oh, this is for people that are gamblers and anonymous. And it's like, you know what, why are we doing this to ourselves? I mean, we're all going to have to pay for this person once they either declare bankruptcy or whatever their problems are going to be. That, yeah, money and politics, of course, is probably at the heart of this, like everything else.
It's always about the dollar, Tom. It always is, tragically. Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so very much. Tony, also in the live stream, says, my parents went to Vegas years ago and bet $10 just so they could say they did it. Otherwise, absolutely no interest. That's funny.
The last time I went to Vegas, we were about to get into a bus and go to like a show. And one of the guys we were with, I don't even know who he was. He was just a friend of a friend. He won $600 and he came running to us. He's like, I won $600. All of us scattered. All of us went to the ATMs. All of us took out money. All of us lost.
All right. We have news coming up. When we return, we're going to talk to Emily Cephos. Very excited to talk to her about Democrats' ground game going forward. By the way, Calvin Sherry from Horror Contexting in. Good morning, Jane, Greg, and Calvin. Calvin, nice haircut.
Yeah.
News is next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting.
when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Police in New York City have released photos of a person of interest in the fatal shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO. CBS's Anna Schechter has more on the weapon used.
It's a B&T Station 6 gun. You saw there in the video, it's an unusual looking gun. It's got a very long barrel there.
People in Northern California are cleaning up after an offshore magnitude 7 earthquake knocked items off their shelves.
The offshore quake briefly triggered a tsunami warning and mass evacuation. Before it was canceled, at least 5 million coastal residents were told to seek higher ground from the Oregon border to as far south as the city of San Francisco, where the zoo was shut down.
CBS News San Francisco anchor Kenny Choi. Another Arctic blast is dipping into the northern U.S. CBS News Philadelphia meteorologist Grant Gilmore.
Over 59 million people will be impacted by the storm, getting the snow, especially some lake effect snow, 10 to 20 inches on top of some of the snow that has already fallen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College Hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Nothing to See Here news, superstar Taylor Swift was named the number one most streamed artist on Spotify for 2024, according to Variety. That makes 2 years in a row for the pop icon. Swift songs pulled almost 27 billion streams. She was off to a good start when her album Tortured Poets Society racked up 300 million streams in one day and a billion in the first week. When playing a legendary character as the lead in a movie, it is probably a huge vote of confidence to get the person who you are portraying's endorsement. Timothée Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. Dylan recently took to social media to say that he is sure that Chalamet will be completely believable in the role. If Dylan had actually said those words, it would have sounded like Chalamet. Chalamet is already getting Oscar buzz for his portrayal as Dylan. A Complete Unknown opens Christmas Day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the middle single digits. We'll have a light west wind. That breeze will pick up a bit on Friday. West to northwest winds up around 20 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the low to mid 20s. Currently 8 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on how Donald Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts can damage our independent judiciary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we will wrap up the show today at 11:51, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Olfactory Edition. You're going to want to stick around for that. It might not be exactly what you think.
It's never, Jane, what
it's
you
never,
think.
It's never what you think.
It's it always the opposite of what you think and or want.
I'm very excited to have our next guest join us. I stumbled on you on Twitter after the election. Emily Cephos is here. She's a former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer in the Fox Valley area. And Emily, you had this great thread about going forward and how Democrats can move forward after November 5th. And so where would you like to start? What do you think? What, because you've knocked on a lot of doors.
I have. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I think that, you know, I put up something after I took a little bit of time to process what I did well, what I maybe reflected that I could have done better at myself, and also being as close as I am to the Democratic Party as a whole. Really, I understand how that whole ecosystem works during an electoral cycle. And I also see just this untapped potential that exists with neighbors that we've never talked to before, but also strategy that Dems, I think, can employ to further our cause so that we're not starting at square one every single cycle. We need to focus on the building. And that's really what that was all about and where I want to see the party going.
Well, and I think, and there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, about Ben Wickler and what Ben Wickler has done since he kind of took things over here in Wisconsin. And now he's obviously throwing his hat in nationally. But yeah, it does seem like we do a great ground game 3 months leading up to the election, and I'm not sure what's going on the rest of the time, right?
Yeah. And the ground game is unmatched, and Ben has been incredible when it comes to fundraising and when it comes to, you know, deploying all of us across the state. But I think there are some things during those electoral cycles that we can do a little bit better. I think that we count out too many people when it comes to, you know, going a little bit further into the red, talking to our neighbors about issues and doing it in a way that resonates with them because it's local and it's right outside their front door. So I think that we need to acknowledge where we are as a nation when it comes to our politics, in that we are being told to mistrust one another. And so in order to start building, we need to see the value and the worth and hitting every single door we can within a certain
certain parameters. Yeah. Sure.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to go in but I've walked up to doors that had big Trump signs on it. And I said, it looks like you've got your mind made up at the top, but I'm here to talk about your most local representation. So you can still salvage tickets in those situations. And that's what I'm talking about, that building where it's like, if I show up and I do a good job for you, and I hope to, then next time you'll extend that upward. And we have to be thinking long-term about what we can do again to make sure we're not starting at the same starting point every electoral cycle. And then in the interim, I think that a priority needs to be given to our county parties. We're the people that are, you know, we live, work, and play here.
Yep.
And so we know our communities well. We know what issues people are talking about. We know who's struggling and who's not. We're going to the supper clubs and churches and Friday night football games. Help us to empower our local people to have that drumbeat continue throughout the whole cycle. And so we can, again, be building that trust and relationship, and we'll see results in subsequent elections.
I know that one of the things that we would always talk about individuals who are knocking on the doors, especially in this past election, is, you know, who are you talking to? What are you talking about? What are the things that unite us rather than divide us? And one thing that they always said was exactly what you said, Emily, is that they would either, you know, come across people or go to doors of individuals who clearly look like they were not supporting them. And they would find out the sign is my husband or my wife. I'm voting this way, or I don't really care. Or they just think, I'm going to vote for this person, therefore I'm obviously not going to vote for this person because they're not the party I like or know. And then they have a conversation And you find out that not only are they enlightened by the discussion, but also they're not used to, especially in Wisconsin and gerrymandered maps, they're not used to politicians having to really work hard to keep those seats.
Yeah.
So this outpouring of attention, it shows up and people, like, you see it on their face and be like, oh, I've never had anyone talk to me before. It's okay. Here's what's going on in my life, you know, and that leaves a lasting mark.
Right. Right. And I think, like, I've been on doors, like, this district is in the Fox Valley area, but it went out to, like, New London, like, very far out of town. And I went to doors where they're like, I have, you know, like, never had anyone knock on my door before. And so whether or not they were big fans of the Democratic Party, and I always led with, like, myself, because I'm right there, right? Like, to say to a person, like, what are you concerned about? And they might be concerned about their public schools, like, knowing that they've got a leaky roof in Freedom, for example. And to say, well, like, our schools have been underfunded, right? So that's something that at the state level we can change. And then also, since you just told me that public schools are really important to you, they want to do away with the Department of Ed, right? And so you bring them in at the ground level, and then you know, bring them up in an elevator, I always say, like, where it's like, we enter here where it's right outside your door, because those are things that we mostly agree upon. And then it's twisted somewhere along the way. But then you extend that upward. And maybe, like, there were people that reached out to me after the fifth that were like Republicans and independents and libertarians. And they were like, just so you know, I held up my end of the bargain. Like, I split that ticket for you. And those are, like, where I'm like, we build on that, right? Like, we want next time then to go back to Joe or Tom or whoever it is and say, hey, we talked to you last time, same goals. Like, I want you to put that trust in me again, and we'll continue to make inroads.
Well, and I do think that certainly this election cycle, where we saw the Democrats take some seats that had been held for a long time by Republicans, now that we have fairer maps, they may have gone ahead, as you said, Emily, and voted for Trump at the top of the ticket. But obviously, those conversations made a difference in some areas of Wisconsin. So you had mentioned that you would like to see the county parties be given a little more, is it autonomy or is it just funding, or what steps would you like to see happen?
I think, like, the autonomy piece is huge. I think extending a little bit of trust to us at the grassroots level to say, we know our community's best, here's what everybody's talking about. And then tailoring a message that is very local, very right outside their door. Again, like, I think that people don't, the electorate typically isn't super involved when it comes to understanding policy.
Right.
And so you can't go there and debate, you know, what tariffs will actually do to your grocery prices necessarily, but you can, like, start at the local level, like, yeah, I get it. It's really hard to make ends meet, and then tailor that message so that it does, like, it connects it eventually for them, but it starts at a local level. Because I always think about, like, to go to doors and, like, sometimes, you know, like, you're told, and of course, like, there are people, you know, we all kind of ad lib at certain points, but if we're told to lead with the top of the ticket as a Democrat at a person's door who doesn't typically align with the Democratic Party, the door is shut in your face right away.
Absolutely.
But if you start at the bottom and you're like, let's talk about the things that we can find in common here, then they're like, oh, I did not see myself in that. But you respectfully having a conversation to, like, widen that lens a little bit, like, allowed me a moment to reconsider maybe what I was doing. And again, it's like, it's building for the long term. And I think, like, what I want to see is that we don't discount the slow and steady smaller successes that we need to see if we want to build back. Like, I think that the goal for the party should obviously be, like, we got a 20-year plan, and in 20 years, this is not a battleground state. This is solidly blue.
Yeah.
And then work back. How are we going to organize to make that reality for us? And that's, like, what, at least at the county party level, kind of the frustration with, like, the whole X threat or whatever, is that I don't hear that happening. And I'm like, I'm one of your most dedicated volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, but if we on the ground are not the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, then who is? You know, like, if we don't have a say and we're not collaborative about it, then who is?
I think that's another thing, Emily, you brought up. I think it's a good point to make, too, is that we, you know, whether if you are a liberal or a Democrat or are on the left, it's easy to think, like, oh, if they have a Trump sign, they're going to shut the door in my face. Democrats have a problem with not agreeing with each other quietly.
That never happens.
And this whole notion now of like, you know, it's the day after the election, Kamala has lost. We need to burn everything to the ground.
Yeah.
I think that's counterproductive as well. But I think important right here is the discussion about the counties. And I think I used to be a member of a county Democratic Party here in Racine. And I think my biggest gripe, and if they're listening, sorry, but my biggest gripe is the recruitment of younger people into the party with a vision that can take us into the future. Because when you watched the DNC, you saw young people in control making that a very fun, energetic, alive event. And you need to have, as you said, too, a goal to say, like, all right, let's say you want to run someone against Robin Voss. You can't just say, all right, in 2 years, we're going to run you. We're going to say, Emily, we're going to run you in 6 years. But this is what we're going to do over 6 years. And we're going to make you known. It can't just be like, oh, it's 6 months into the election. Emily, do you want to run?
You busy?
We need someone.
Yeah, just drop you in there. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You need to have that plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's such a lack of vision sometimes in some of those parties. And I understand. I get why. But it's also then hard to knock on the doors of power within those parties and say, I have an idea, because some people really love their power and you just have to wait it out.
Well, and that's unfortunate, right? Because we all want to demonize the other side, yeah, right? But I think there are some people who have been in power at a long time in the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, and who could. It's time to pass the torch. It's time to bring in some younger blood. It's time, as you said, Emily, to start planning for 20 years down the road when Chuck Schumer and those guys are going to be gone. And
you think about the way that the Republicans have done it, too. Like, we're living through the culmination of decades of planning. Like,
yes.
This is not something that is just like, oh, it just happened. No, yeah, this is something that they had that vision and we're behind on it. To my knowledge, like, I don't feel connected to it. So what we're doing, like, locally, because the wheels of big machines turn slowly.
Very.
Is that locally we're like, what can we do? But it is like, to, you know, Greg, your point that like, I have organizing background. So I'm like, okay, like, if this doesn't exist in the system level, mm-hmm, like, I will help to build it, and it might not be perfect, but we're going to work toward it.
Yeah.
But like, there are people that are good people that are like, well, I'm just used to like the door knocking, and I'm used to the electoral like 3 months before stuff, and they need to be like trained up. And that's why I just want to see like the party as a whole acknowledging that, or like actual organizing and building in the in-between is what we need to be doing right now. You know, so it brings more people in and it makes those inroads so somebody can run and beat Robin Voss eventually someday.
Okay. I know. Wishful.
A boy can dream.
If you're just joining us, Emily Sefos is our guest. She's a former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer in the Fox Valley. I want to back up just a little bit, Emily, to something that you said, and I don't know this to be true, but I can see this happening, where the National Democratic Party comes to the little local county parties and says, this is the messaging we want you to take out to the doors. That's a huge mistake. As you said, it's, you know what's going on the ground with your neighbors at your schools and your churches and the bars and whatever, and you can't be expected to all go out with the same messaging. It's not going to work.
No, we're not like little drones. And it's just like the same messaging to the same people over and over, which is like another, you know, reflection of mine where I'm like, why are we discrediting and discounting these, you know, these rural areas or these more suburban areas and going to the same doors like 3 or 4 times with like the same message again and again and again? Is that really the most effective use of our people?
I think it's interesting because we have people, especially farmers, on here talking about how all policy affects them, but specifically how the upcoming Trump policies will affect them as they did in 2016. But you have one side that cannot say boo about their leadership, and then you have another side that's like, well, maybe we should bring in a little more nuanced discussion about our differences, when really, when it comes down to it, the people at the bar, one guy may have voted for Kamala, one woman may have voted for Trump, but they have existing qualities that are alike and they can talk it out.
Yep.
And we don't give them enough credit to do so.
Yeah, exactly. And if we don't show up, then there is only, you know, like, then it is as it's always been.
Right.
And so why?
Right. Well, then
why are we doing that?
You're just ceding the territory, as I think you said in your thread on Twitter.
Yeah.
Really. And you can't discount them. So
no, we're going to continue our conversation with Emily Sefos. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We will be back in just a moment. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We have news coming up at 11 o'clock. After that, we're going to talk about a number of TV stations in Western Wisconsin just fired a whole bunch of their on-air and news departments. In truly one of the most classless acts I have seen in broadcasting, and I've been in this business a long time and seen a lot of classless things.
I was going to make this
whole
joke.
This is a whole new low, I would say.
Shaking your fist at
shaking
the wind.
Shaking my fist at the wind, yes. That's after 11 o'clock. Emily Cephos is here right now, former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer, and kind of did a nice little post-mortem after the election on November 5th. And you knocked on many, many doors, Emily, over the last few months. I'm sure you put on quite a few miles. What about the problem of disinformation? Because we all, obviously, we get our news from many, many different sources.
Mm-hmm. And as local news agencies and stations are closing and being shuttered, it's only going to get worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is such a huge problem. That's like one of my, you know, besides giving everybody a chance to like to find that common ground with me in a moment and not counting anybody out. Disinformation is so huge because you're taking, you know, people are getting their news. Legacy media does not exist in the way that it used to exist. And people don't, they don't ingest their information via that anymore.
Right.
It's now on TikTok. And
right.
It's on, you
Facebook.
Know, all of these social media. Exactly. And people are voting on that. Like if we talk about the electoral consequences of it, is that you're on a door and people are talking about a litter box in a local, you know, this is something that I heard multiple times in this one area. So we knew that rumor was pretty like it had baked in that there were litter boxes in the local elementary school. And they're taking that and then they're discrediting public schools entirely. And then they're voting for the people that want to do away with the Department of Education. Right. So like that's how they're connecting those dots. And there's a pipeline that exists now that like where they're paying those influencers to feed that information. And then at the end of it, when they feel like they've got a relationship because they've been following their content for a while, they're like, and by the way, vote for my guy. And that is so huge. So like my question, like my reflection on that is like, what can we do at a local level so that when we hear rumors about litter boxes or book bans are happening, we show up? Because again, if we don't put our voices and we don't put ourselves into that space, there is a vacuum that exists and there's nobody to counter it. And we have to be courageous enough to be like, this is wrong. This is false. That kind of stuff.
When you met people and you knocked on doors and they brought up this whole litter box things in schools, were you able to convince them that that is not true? Because it's my understanding, this actually, the truth nugget of that is that there were litter boxes in schools in case there was a lockdown because of a gunman and kids had to relieve themselves. That, to me, is the nugget of truth in that, not that they're dressing up as cats and identifying as cats.
Right. Yes. And I think like there, well, what I did after I heard it like a couple of times, I called the school and I was like, hi, people in your neighborhood are saying that this is happening. Is like, maybe make a public statement. And they didn't want to do that. So like just at every door I went to and there weren't, it wasn't mentioned often, but if I found like someone that was in alignment with where I was on things, I was like, by the way, we know this rumor's happening locally. You need to start combating that, like in conversation with your neighbors, because what else do you do? And then like to also, I spent some money in like digital advertising when I was running and to micro target ads into that community to be like, hi, it's me. Just so you know, this is where this came from and it's not happening here. So that's something that I did and that I want to see locally and that our county party is going to plan on doing too.
Well, and that too is where, because you are on the ground and you are hearing these rumors and this disinformation going through your own community, you know best how to battle that instead of the national party coming in and saying, here's the message that we want you to take to the doors.
I think one of the biggest problems too with disinformation, and you brought up podcasts and influencers, is that they have been allowed a level of
expertise.
No. Not expertise.
Credibility?
Not credibility either, and I can't think of the word. Leeway. They've been given an amount of leeway where they can sit here and talk like we are right now, and they can, as a one-off, like, and of course, you know, they're putting, litter boxes in the schools now because kids think they're cats. Ha, 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 let's move on. People hear all of that and think, well, my guy just said that, so it has to be true. Do you know that they're putting litter boxes in schools? They're putting litter, and like, it turns into a joke to a serious thing. And then when people tried to bring that up to me, when you just asked Emily, how do you deal with that? It's so hard for me not just become immediately angry because I'm thinking to myself, you truly believe that this is a thing. And if I say it's not true, you're gonna be like, well, that's what I heard.
Well, but again, and we've talked about this for a long time, Emily, it's combating my friend on Facebook's cousin's daughter's dog walker saw this and I trust my friend on Facebook. So why wouldn't I believe that, you know, this is accurate? And it's trying to combat that because that's where they're getting their news.
Yeah. And I think like the reality, like we can't control all of that, right? Like there are so many different pieces to this puzzle, but what we can do is again, empower our own people that are right here. Like we've got people and I was like, you're going to monitor Nextdoor and you're going to monitor Facebook and certain community groups. And when we hear these things happening, we have to respond to it in real time, because if we don't, you're way behind where you need to be.
Yeah. Absolutely. Emily Sefos, former assembly candidate, county party volunteer in the Fox Valley. It's been such a pleasure. We would love to have you back and continue this conversation.
Always. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. News is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah,
that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.